There's an overwhelming variety of snack foods on the market. Here's a few more recent ones, I think, from Delish, a food website. They say these should be on our radar. The Perfect Bar, Welsh's fruit snacks and superfruit flavor, Justin's organic almond butter covered almonds, avocado oil potato chips, a ghost pepper almond and tart cherry mixed bag. The list goes on. In 2010, the Wall Street Journal reported that 56% of people said they snacked three or more times a day. That was up from 10% in the late 70s. And some people are opting out of three meals a day and going with all-day snacking. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you snack a lot through the day? Do you do it because you don't have time for meals, or is it by choice? And do you have a favorite? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Emily Contois is an assistant professor of media studies at the University of Tulsa. Her research explores the connections between food, the body, health, and identities in contemporary U.S. media and popular culture. Emily, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, you write about, among other things, food culture. Have you seen this rise of the snack in the United States, as we've seen from some sources?
No, definitely. I think people are snacking more. I think what interests me is why.
Yeah.
And I think there are fun reasons why. We have happy memories from childhood, of after school snacks, of special snacks at school, when you go to the movies, when you go camping, when you go on a car trip. And some of those continue to be a part of our life in fun, memorable, traditional ways. But I think I'm interested in how snacking's related to work and to labor into how those patterns are changing.
Yeah. How do you see our work habits changing our snack habits?
So the idea of three square meals a day isn't some natural way of eating. That came with the rise of the Industrial Revolution and how it changed the kind of work we did, where we did it, the hours we spent away from home, who we ate with. So the idea that you would eat lunch away from home, that dinner would be a meal once you had returned together, that was all organized around work. And so as we look at the jobs of, I mean, it makes sense that the statistics we have, right? Our snacking was kind of low in the 70s, and it's quite regularly a part of how people eat today, has everything to do with how people's work lives are changing. Folks who work multiple jobs, folks who work really long hours, folks who commute, who telecommute, who work from all sorts of different locations. Many folks don't have an hour that they take in the middle of the day to have a thoughtful, delicious, nutritious, well-rounded meal that they share with other people, right? A lot of folks are just trying to fuel themselves through the work that they're trying really hard to do, and that a lot of the structure around that is bleeding into our lives in new and more complicated ways.
No, I'm splitting the difference. I stick with the three squares a day and I snack a lot, which probably isn't a good thing. Do you think that a lot of people are falling into that category where we do a little of both?
I think that's the concern of nutritionists and public health folks, that snacking might be responsible for increases in total calories, for example. That if you are adding these snacks on top of three awesome meals a day, that yeah, right, that you're going to be eating a little bit too much. I think it's interesting, for a while there was sort of nutritional advice that six small meals eaten throughout the day, right, might be able to help manage insulin levels, to stoke your metabolism, to make perhaps weight management more easy for some people. And so it's interesting to see how some of that dietary advice was taken up by the food industry to be able to create more snack foods that are certainly meeting consumer and customer desires for a number of different reasons. And there are some pros and some cons, right? Eating too much could be one of them. Eating too many of particular nutrients could be another. Food that comes in snack sizes is often more expensive, right? It doesn't have that scale of other ingredients. It tends to come with more packaging, so we can be concerned about food waste with the increase in snacking. So I think there's really interesting cultural meaning that we attach to snacking. There are real political, social, cultural, economic reasons for why we snack. And then this element of health and nutrition is another really complex piece of this puzzle.
A lot of people have heard of the idea of stress eating. If we're snacking at work, that seems like one likely cause sometimes. Is there something to that?
Yeah, I when one of the jobs that I worked before I was a professor was in worksite wellness, and so the idea of getting people, instead of having a jar or a dish of candy on your desk, right, of having healthier snacks so that when you did reach for something, that it was more helpful. And so stress eating definitely correlates. The same with comfort foods, right? When we're reaching for particular foods because we're feeling a specific way, they tend to be ones that we have good memories with or that make us feel good. So I don't want to demonize any food. I think all snacks are great. I think it's balancing, right? What ones we're having when, what are we having at meals? How do we have that happy balance and that deliciousness that we need when we do need it?
Well, something you said at the outset made me think, you mentioned, we have these positive associations with special snack foods that we might eat at a movie or a special occasion or a gathering, except we're taking those foods with those positive associations that we ate occasionally and making them, and they're super available, making them everyday foods instead of what Cookie Monster might call sometimes foods.
No, this is true. I think being able to renegotiate that balance for yourself is a part of sort of the calculus, right, for your individual day. But I think the idea that, some folks are choosing a lunch that they can eat with one hand, right? And that limits a lot of things.
Guilty.
Right? If you're not using a knife and fork, if you need to be able to slurp it down. My husband's a physical therapist, right? He's treating patients all day. And so he needs to be able to, get it down in 15 minutes so he can get back and work with folks or do paperwork. A lot of people are balancing a lot of things. So food that meets all those elements of being convenient, of being tasty, of being nutritious, of being quick, affordable, good for the environment, right? It's a lot of different criteria to balance. And so I think consumers are really looking for solutions that hit all those boxes. And that can be hard to find.
Right. And in the marketing world, there are a lot of snacks being marketed as healthier. And some of them probably are. But it seems like there's a huge demand and supply of foods that we can snack on with hopefully without feeling so guilty, whether that's medically true or not.
Yes. So my research as an undergraduate student was that guilt is not an emotion you should ever attach to food, right? So if you walk away with anything, right, get rid of that guilt no matter what it is. But yeah, being able to find balance, of being able to find what fits in, what makes you feel good, what makes your body feel good and meets the health goals that you have for yourself so you can feel well, move well, do your job well. It's a balance, always, always.
Emily, in our last minute or so, has studying this kind of thing changed the way you view a snack on your desk or the grocery store shelf?
I think I am interested in that definition, right, of what counts as a snack. I've had friends who did research on what counts as cooking for folks, and there is a huge range of responses, right? Does it count if you're just microwaving it, if you're putting some things together, or does it require lots of ingredients, lots of time? And so I think part of the interesting question might be definitional, right? Like, what do we consider snack foods? What are just foods? And so I think with the proliferation of snacking, I think it's starting to redefine that for people of what counts as a meal, what counts as a food, what counts as a favorite food, what really is a snack. I think I'm interested in some of those questions. I think what I love studying food with my students is that they realize that food is never just food, right? This isn't just about the increase in people snacking more. Ask why. Why are we snacking more? Why are the foods that we are eating? What stories does that tell us about who we are and the moment that we're living in?
Great questions. Emily, thank you so much for joining us today.
You're so very welcome. Thank you for having me.
That's Emily Contois, Assistant Professor of Media Studies at the University of Tulsa. We've been talking about the rise of snacking and what it tells us about ourselves.